God's revelation was clear. When they conquered the city, they were to gather all the belongings, they were to destroy all the people, and they were to gather all of the loot or the money and all those things, and they were to sacrifice it, give it to God. However, one of the people, as he was attacking, went into a house, and he looked and he saw silver, and he saw gold, he saw beautiful garments, and he said, you know what, I know what God's revelation is, but in my own reasoning, I would really like to have that stuff. And he took that stuff, and he took it in his tent, and he hid it in his tent. And of course, if you know the story, the nation went out to fight against a different city, and 36 men died. They were defeated because of this man's sin, because of his own reasoning. And after he sinned, after he rejected God's divine revelation, and he went with his own reasoning, what was the first thing he had to do? Had to hide it, didn't he? And then he had to continue to hide it, had to continue to lie about it, and he didn't come clean until they drew lots, and the lots went to his tribe, and then went to his family, and then went to him. Who am I talking about? Achan. Sure. We're in 1 Samuel 27 this morning, and we're studying a man, David, who was a man after God's own heart, who was a spiritual man, who wrote most of the Psalms, who was a great king of Israel, and yet he too, though he knew God's divine revelation, allowed his human reasoning to guide his decisions. So turn to 1 Samuel, you're already doing that. 1 Samuel chapter 27. We'll spend a little bit of time reviewing for those that were not with us, and then we'll cover some new area. The first thing we're looking at in verses 1 through 7 is his departure. His departure from Israel into the area being run by the Philistines. And look at verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Now, why did David depart and go to Gath? Well, and I want to take a little more time here because I kind of skipped this yesterday or last week. There were relentless attacks on David's life by Saul. Now, you know that. Saul sought him every single day. Now, again, by the way, if someone persecutes you for 5 minutes, you can probably take that, can't you? But what if they persecute you today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and for 6 or 7 years they're on your case? Well, that's what was happening to David. And not only that, he had these 2,000 to 3,000 people depending on him for protection. So he had this constant bombardment from the outside, and then he had a flesh that was just like ours. It was weak. And he got discouraged. He got despondent. In fact, Psalm 10:1 is a verse probably written during this time, and he says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? In Psalm 13:1, he said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Hey, let me ask you a question. How many have been there? You've got a problem going on in your life. It goes on, and you pray about it. You read your Bible. You go to church, and the problem is still there, and it goes on and on and on. Now, if we fall back on human reasoning, what will we conclude? God forgets. God doesn't know what's going on. One, or God doesn't care. Now, if we're honest, we've all been there. And that's where we find David. And I know sometimes we can be a little unfeeling in our judgments of David because we have gone through much less, and yet we have gotten discouraged and despondent. We've all been there. I was doing a little job for somebody yesterday, and my whole schedule got knocked out of whack, and I should have listened to my wife. All of you that tell my wife things that I say about her, pass this on, okay? I should have listened to my wife. She said, don't do it. You don't have time. You know, so I go out there, and I painted this one piece of wood, so I was going to attach some hinges to it, and I go, and I put it up there, and first thing I do, I got it wrong. So I just wasted my time. How did I get off on that? What in the world was I talking about that I got off on that? I have no idea. Oh, discouragement and depression. That's what it was. I'm 50 years old. Forgetfulness is coming in there too. And I thought, you idiot. What a waste. And I thought, well, if I piece it or if I do that, nah, I wouldn't want that in my house. I'm not going to do that. And I got just, I thought, who cares? I'll paint another piece of wood. I'll recut it Monday. You know, we get discouraged and despondent over the stupidest things. And then I'm afraid we're a little hard on David when he's been going through it for all these years and has a hard time. By the way, all of us will get discouraged and depressed at times. The key is how you deal with it. The just man falls and falls and falls. But what does he do? He gets up. Hallelujah. He gets up. So here we find David. He depends on his own human reasoning. There is no, he does not ask God what to do. And maybe I ought to camp here for a while. You see where it says David said in his heart. Let me give a personal testimony. So often when I have to make decisions, I just make the decision. And don't pray about it. Don't seek the Lord about it. I just say, well, let's see, this looks good. Kind of like going out there and doing this job yesterday. I guarantee I didn't pray about that. And I make decisions, and of course, you know how it goes. Human reasoning. David relied totally on human reasoning. Hey, let me ask you, do you have decisions you need to make today? Now, I'm not just asking about, you know, decisions about your life work or your life's mate or those kind of, I'm talking about everyday decisions. We need to pray about it, folks. We need to seek the Lord. I know Mona is praying, and I appreciate the fact she's looking for a house. And what has she asked us to do? Pray about it. By the way, does God have a house for you somewhere? Sure he does. Hasn't revealed it yet, but he's got a place. Well, we need to seek the Lord. David did not do that. And we talked last week about many folks who use their own reasoning. We talked about Eve and Cain and Lot and Moses. We mentioned Achan today and Samson. And boy, how often we do the same thing. Temptation comes our way. We don't rely on what God has said. We rely on our own thinking. I will enjoy this. I would like to do this. And we do it. Or when trial comes, we know that God says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We know the Bible says God knows all things. We know the Bible says God is in control of all things. And yet we conclude wrongfully, God doesn't care. God can't help. And so we rely on our own thinking, our own strength, and boy, do we fail. We fail. Now, why should we not rely on human reasoning? This is all review, by the way, still, obviously. Why? Number one, God said, don't. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Is that clear? Don't trust your own thinking. Why? Well, because the Bible says the heart is deceitful. You say, well, I'll make a decision based on my knowledge. Well, you don't know much. I hate to tell you that. I don't either. Our knowledge is so finite. You say, well, I have a conscience. Yeah, well, wait a minute. The conscience can be defiled. It can be seared. It can be made evil. So David relies on his own thinking, his own wisdom, his own knowledge. He makes the wrong decision. What's his conclusion? His conclusion is, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Saul is going to kill me. Now, we talked about this last week. Could Saul kill him? No, because God said David's going to be the next king. And so he makes a wrong conclusion. And because he makes a wrong conclusion, folks, what's he going to do? He's going to make a wrong decision. Here it is. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Now look, folks, remember, when we rely on human reasoning, we're going to come to wrong conclusions, and we're going to make wrong decisions, which leads to wrong actions. Why did he flee to the Philistines? Where did that start? Right here. Where he trusted in human reasoning instead of divine revelation. So he made the wrong conclusion. Saul's going to kill me. I got to leave. He runs to Gath again. Now look, folks. This same process goes on in your life and my life all the time. instead of seeking God's will, we rely on our own thinking, our own logic, our own reasoning, and we say, here's what I think I ought to do. And then we come to the wrong conclusion, and we do it, and boy, do we reap. Now, we could stop right here and go from seat to seat, and we could give personal testimonies all day long about how we've done that. And this is exactly what David does. Now, let's look at the results. What happens? Okay, here's the record of his departure, verse 2. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more, and he sought no more again for him. All right, here's the results of his departure. What's the result? You see it right here. What's the result? It worked. Uh-oh, there goes the lesson. David used his human reasoning, and he passed over, and Saul said, he's out of the country. I'm not going to chase him anymore. In fact, as we read on in verse 5, and David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thy eyes, let me give a place in some, or let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. He said, you know what? I'm tired of running. I'm going to leave. Saul will quit chasing me. I'll have a place for everybody to stay. And what happened? He relied on his own reasoning. He did his own thing, went his own way, and what happened? Now, what should we expect? Oh, he went against God. God's going to, right? What happened? It worked. Saul quit chasing him. He's got a city to live in. He's got a place that all of his people can stay in. He can provide for them, protect them. They're in Ziklag. Everything is hunky-dory. Now, is it not true, folks, that when we leave the will of God, sometimes indeed things look pretty good? I'm serving as a bus captain, and it's getting old, and I decide to quit. Because, you know, it's just every Saturday I got to go out visiting, then I got to run that bus every Sunday, and I'm just tired. I'm just sick and tired of it. So I'm just going to quit, and then I won't be sick and tired. Let me ask you a question. Can that work? Sure. Don't visit on Saturdays anymore. Don't visit bus route on Sunday. Yeah, that's not bad at all. I kind of like this. You know? A person is discouraged. They're despondent and depressed. And so, you know what? I'm just going to take some drugs. I'm going to go out and go drinking. Can that work? Sure. Sure. A person is being pressured to do wrong. I mean, at work, they're pressured to do wrong. I mean, just constantly. You got to cheat on the books. You know, just change this number here, or do this, whatever. And so finally you say, I've had enough of it, and I'm just going to do it, and you do it. And the pressure's gone. Now, by the way, don't check out at this time in the lesson, okay? Some of you are saying, hallelujah, this is good stuff, man. I've been waiting for this lesson for a long time. A person has marital problems. I mean, it's just constant strife. They know the Lord's will. But you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. I'm just checking out. And they get out. And the problem's resolved. Person has financial problems. Can't pay their bills. You know what? I'm just going to quit tithing. I mean, if I can't afford to buy groceries, why should God expect me to tithe? And so they quit tithing, and they have financial relief. This is good stuff. I wish I'd taught this earlier. You're serving the Lord in a hard area, and things are rough, and boy, it's just a pain, and you just say, well, you know what? I'm tired. I just quit. And you quit, and boy, things are just great. I think the Lord's trying to tell me something. He's saying, move on, son, move on. Now, what's the problem with all that logic? It's for a season, isn't it? The pleasures of sin are for a season. For a season. Why is it doing that? I guess it's the same. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 9 and verse 13. And it says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat on the high place of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Is that true? Yep. Sure it is. But, by the way, there's another verse, verse 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Some of you have probably read Pilgrim's Progress. I want to read a short portion from that. It said, the pilgrims, Christian and hopeful, were much discouraged because of the way. It was difficult. Their feet were weary and they were tired. They saw on the left hand of the road a meadow and a stile to go over into it, like a turnstile. And that meadow is called Bypath Meadow. Christian went to the stile to see, and behold, a path lay along by the way on the other side of the fence. When he saw this, he told Hopeful, it is according to my wish. Here is the easiest going. Come, good Hopeful, and let us go over. Indeed, Christian was right. When they were gone over and were got into the path, they found it very easy to their feet, but it was not long until they discovered that Bypath Meadow had led them into Giant Despair's land. When Giant Despair found the trespassing pilgrims, he drove them into his doubting castle where they languished in abject misery. Isn't that so true? We're going through our Christian life and it's tough. I mean, it's hard. And we look over and we see the devil's way and we say, wow, that looks easy. And you know what? It's running right parallel to my path. I think it'll be okay. We get over there in Bypass Meadow. Boy, pretty soon we're into the Giant of Despair, and things get worse, and they get worse, and they get worse. Folks, we need to remember Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Is that true? Yes, there is. Every decision you have to make, every single one of them, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. There is a way that's right to God. You'll always, your flesh will always encourage you to go your way. But what's the end of the verse say? But the end thereof are the ways of death. Wow. Let me remind you and myself, when we go our own way, there may be instant relief. But it's not long-term relief. Not long-term. Well, let's move on. Verse 8 through 12. We have seen the departure. We want to look at the deception. The deception. Here's what happens. Let's look at verse 8. Back in 1 Samuel 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 8. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites, and the Gezrites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? In other words, where you been, boy? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so David did, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, and therefore he should be my servant forever. Well, you get the picture. David's got his own city now, and he goes out on these marauding trips, and he takes his men, and they go out, and they are attacking the enemies of Israel. and they're destroying them and they're killing all of them. And he comes back and he brings back all the loot to Achish to say, hey, here you go, buddy. Look what we've been doing. And he said, where you been? Well, we've been over. And he tells him where he's going, but he doesn't tell him who he's fighting against. You see, Achish says, David is helping me. He's killing all my enemies. What was he really doing? He was killing all his allies. He was fighting against the allies of the Philistines, and he would come back in and would kind of tell a half-truth and said, oh, yeah, we were over here, yeah. And they were over there, but they weren't killing Israelites. They were killing the friends of Achish. And so here we find David. First, he's gone his own way, and now he is in deception. He is going to have to lie to the king. Now, what happens if he tells Achish the truth? Oh, we were out killing your buddies. How is that going to fly? So he's got to make a choice. Am I going to tell the truth or am I going to lie? And so he intentionally misleads the king. He tells the king a lie. Now, look, folks, this is the process that occurs. We have a decision to make. We can either make it based on God's revelation or our reasoning. When we make it on our reasoning, we go our way, we are out of the will of God, we are sinning. What do you have to do when you sin? You have to, well, that's what you need to do, but what do we do when we sin? Typically, we've got to hide it from other people, and we've got to lie about it. And that's what David does. By the way, is it okay to lie? How about a white lie? Who came up with white lies and black lies? I'd like to know that. I mean, a lie is a lie is a lie. I mean, if I tell you something that's 95% true and 5% false, what is it? It's a lie. I mean, if I came to Mark and I had a cup of water and I said, Mark, hey, by the way, this is 99% pure water and it's only got 1% poison. Don't worry about it. Now, Lori's going to say, drink it. Yeah. Wrong mark. Wrong mark. That's right. It's like you do when you hear preaching. Pass it on back. Now, folks, we live in a society today that justifies lying for any reason. Any reason. And I'm afraid that we often, even in Christianity, are caught up in the same thing. Now, look. The Lord said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, in today's English, that means don't lie. In Proverbs chapter 6, there are 6 things God hates. Yea, 7 are an abomination. The first is a proud look. The second is a lying tongue. Ephesians 5:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, folks, we fall into the very same thing. When we decide to go our way, we have to cover it or we have to justify it. When someone decides to quit serving God, and they will come to Pastor or me or Brother John or someone and say, We're going to stop serving in this ministry. What do you think are some things that we hear? What are some reasons that people give for quitting serving God? The Lord's will is for me to quit this ministry. Now, can that be true? But now, if that's true, what does God always do? Yeah. God never calls you from something to nothing. God has called me to quit serving him altogether, and we're not going to serve the Lord. The Lord didn't tell you that, folks. That is called a lie. Okay? What might be another reason why someone would tell you they're quitting serving God? I just don't have time. Now, is that really true? Well, you have time for everything else under the sun. I mean, we have time for our children to do this and do that, do this and this, and we're involved in this club and this sport and this thing over here, and we've got, but I don't, you know, serving the Lord. I don't know if I've ever had anybody come to me and honestly tell me why they wanted to quit serving God. I would just love for somebody to come to me one time and said, look, I've got to give up this ministry because I'm backslidden and I'm far from God and I'm living in sin and I just need to get out. At least they'd be honest. You know? I mean, people quit going to church. I need to spend more time with my family. Oh, hallelujah. God's given you 6 days for that. Even got Sunday afternoon. I mean, oh, we're right with the Lord, but we're going to worship this week at the lake. Don't think you're worshiping the Lord at the lake. Yeah, and I can, you know, I love to pick on things that I have nothing to do with, like fishing. I hate fishing. So I can talk about that. I won't talk about things that I like. That's too convicting. But, when people leave the church, I know people have to move and things happen. Well, the Lord is leading us away. Now, that can be true. That can be true. But I'd like for someone just to come and say, well, you know, preacher hurt my feelings and I'm quitting. Just tell it like it is. I'm mad and I'm leaving. Instead of, well, brother. Now look, all of us at times will reject God's righteous will, and we will go our own way. Now, I'll be up front with you. I can think of some times this week in my own life when I rejected God's divine revelation, what I knew was right, and did what I wanted to do. You say, what'd you do? None of your business. I wish that I could stand in front of you and say, you know what? This week, every day this week, I was walking with God. Every step of the way, every thought that I had was a righteous thought. Every action that I took was a righteous action. In fact, I just want you to know, this week, Mark, I walked with God every day of the week. I mean, I did not get out of step with God. God said, go this way. I went that way. God said, go this way. I went. I wish I could say that. I can't. Well, I could. It'd be a lie. We've already talked about that. So what do you do? What do you do when you have chosen to go your way instead of God's way? And I think Anne Marie mentioned earlier, what do? You repent. What is repentance? Repentance is changing the direction you're going, which is wrong, and getting... Now here's the thing. What happens, folks? We're going along in our Christian life, and God's will is this way right here. But I say, you know what? I want to go my way. And so God's way is over here. Now I'm over here. Out of God's will, I'm going my own way. And what should we do? Boy, many Christians just keep on going. And by the way, the longer you go, what happens? The further you get away from where you're supposed to be. But aren't you glad we have a God who said if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we have a God who will allow us to make that left turn and get back right back in the will of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What if God said to you, oh, sorry, buddy, you're off track, you're history. No second chances. I gave you one chance, you blew it, sorry, it's over. Aren't you? Now that's us. We're that way, okay? Aren't you glad God isn't? He is a merciful God who delights in mercy. And when I make that wrong decision and I go my own way and I say, okay, God, I'm going my own way, and I get out there and I say, whoa, what am I doing? This is stupid. And I begin to reap for my actions, and I can say to God, oh, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. God, help me to get back in your will, and God will allow us to get back in and serve him and do his work. Now, where are you this morning? If you were standing before God right now and he said to you, are you in the center of my will in every area of your life, what would you say? All right, so what should we do? Continue on? No. Repent. Confess. Forsake. And hallelujah, friends, you can walk with God. You can walk with God. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you can walk with God. Today, on 10-10-10, what a great day. You can be in the center of God's will. You can be there. You can be there. Lord, I pray you'd help us to examine our hearts. Help us, I say, Lord, as believers, to seek the will of God in everything we do and to obey it. Lord, that we might have the blessing of God and the presence of God, the peace of God, the power of God in our lives. Lord, you know our hearts. You know we're flesh. You know that we're dust, that we're so prone to wander. And Lord, I pray you'd help us this week to walk according to divine revelation and not human reasoning. In Jesus' name, amen.